We do not teach a clergy-laity concept. We teach the Bible. The Bible teaches a body, members one of another. And when we read about the multi-dimensions of ministry, sometimes we get caught up with the offices and the titles. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We get caught up in the giftings, okay? To me, what it speaks of is multi-dimension ministry. This is why we insist on not a multitude, but many participating in this avenue, in this particular gathering, meeting. Okay? So we don't compare one with the other. This isn't a series of lessons. This isn't a series of messages. And so we don't look at one speaker over another and say, wow, I really like that guy. I couldn't really relate to that guy. What is taking place is another dimension. This is what brings the fully equipping of the body of Christ. This is what helps. This is what heals. This is what prepares and molds and makes of us for where we're headed. Now, I didn't mean to stop, Brother Gonzalez. I know where we're going. I know where we're headed. And I'm asking Brother Bourne to come now and be the dimension he is called to be. We're not going to respond. I mean, listen to me. You're receiving of ministry. We're going to hold off in our full response until after Brother Dobbs. They're going to set the pace and the time. God's leading in them will determine when this happens. I already know, though, this is the path. It started here. It continued here. And God is touching dimensions and areas. And he is preparing. And this is a timing. Amen. And he knows the end result. Why did he send the prophet to David when he did?
To tell him that little story about a sheep.
Because he had an expected end. Had he gone premature, knowing the heart of David, knowing the mind of David, dealing with these sins in his life, had the voice came premature, he may have refused, rejected, and killed the prophet. But because God knows timing perfectly, he'll bring the right word through the right vessel and bring the expected repentant end. He knows your need. He knows what's got you stuck. He knows why you're not progressing in him. All right. Be honest. Be true. Be honest. Be true. And you will see this end.
Lift your hands right now. Timing and order is important. I don't compare myself to nobody, but I hope nobody compares himself to me. You're in trouble if you do, especially if you compare yourself to me. A lot was said. My mind went a lot of directions. You asked me direction. I'm going to tell you how to go. You go 2 miles. You'll see Taco Bell. You turn right. You go 2 blocks, you'll see a Burger King. You turn left. Now, I may ask some of you how to get somewhere, and you're going to give me some other type of direction. I relate differently. Timing. I put a cream cheese pound cake in the oven, and I know that it's going to take an hour and 30 minutes before I can get to it. I set a timer on my phone to make sure that it does not go over an hour and 30 minutes. And about 5 minutes before time, I'm sitting on a stool looking at that door, because I know in a few minutes I'm going to get involved in something, because I'm going to take a hot cake. Yeah, I cook it. I take it out of the oven, flip it upside down, get it out of the pan. I take a knife, I cut it. I already have the butter and the whipping cream ready to go. I put a blob of butter on that hot pound cake slice. I pour whipping cream on it, and I stick it in the microwave. Anybody in here hungry? Just swallow some saliva, you'll be all right. Timing. You talk to a young person, they want the fastest car. How fast will it go through the quarter? God has given order. I don't know why I felt to say this, but it's burning in my spirit. Man walked in and said, I'm fixing to plant 10 rows of potatoes. He pointed out and said, that is, to my dad, that is your row of potatoes right there. If it makes potatoes, fine. If it don't, well, that just depends on how much you pray. He said, well, that's not the way to do it. He said, you just pay tithes off of the 10 rows that you plant. He said, nope, that's not what I'm going to do. That's your row of potatoes, and if it makes it good, whatever, I'll bring them to you. Well, I'm going to stand here and tell you that we had mashed potatoes and fried potatoes and baked potatoes and boiled potatoes. We had potato fights. There were potatoes everywhere. I will never forget it. I can still see it in my mind. We got stopped. A highway patrolman stopped my dad because that big Buick that he had looked like it was loaded down with moonshine. And he said, sir, what are you carrying in the trunk of your car? He said, potatoes. He said, yeah, right. Open the trunk. Well, that big old trunk was level full with potatoes. And on top was a bunch of paper bags that he had got from the grocery store. And what burns in my mind more than getting stopped and seeing the blue lights is watching a highway patrolman walk back to his car with 2 sacks of potatoes. It got to the point where Daddy finally told the man, do not bring any more potatoes to the house. We had Hall potatoes all over the state. We had gift potatoes. If you come to our house, you was getting potatoes. They were all under the edge of the house. They were all out by the shop. They were in the trunk of the car. I had looked at potatoes until I did not want to see another potato. He said, Brother Bourne, he said, the ground is still bursting forth with potatoes. His nine rows didn't even make a tenth of what that one row made. God's a God of order. Amen. He's a God of timing. Now we have come in here. Some, this is their first encounter with a POS meeting. I've been on the receiving end of bishop's conversations. I had a question for him. I called him and I didn't get him. So I left him a message. You know, as a pastor, I really like getting these phone calls. I really need to talk to you. Click. Well, what are you wanting to talk about? I just want to talk. About what? I need to see you right before service. Oh, no, you're not. And I'm not sure you're going to see me after service. If you can't tell your leadership what you're wanting to talk about, then it's really not that important. That's just my two cents. So I tried to give him an explanation of what I wanted to talk about, because I didn't want it to just be, hey, call me. For those that are vision impaired, let me describe something if you can hear me. Food, I love. And when these preachers call fast, this temple that took me so long to acquire, I feel the eroding that I don't like. And I had just sat down to a big plate of chicken wings. They were battered just right. They had been fried. They had been dipped in the right sauce. And that big thing of ranch dressing was sitting there with just the right amount of blue cheese in it. And the diet drink that you got to have balance. Had the right mix. The carbonation and the syrup was just right. And you know, that type that when you, have you ever been to Whataburger? If you ever go to Whataburger, you don't want to go back to In-N-Out. Anyway, what I was saying about the chicken wings. I got the mic now. I looked that basket of chicken wings over and I found the one that I wanted to start with. And so I picked out that chicken wing. And I rolled it in the ranch dressing. And I got my napkin ready, because if I didn't get the napkin ready, I'm going to have to put the shirt in the refrigerator type deal, you know. And I take me a big old bite. And I hear harps. I hear an orchestra as it begins to play. And when I get happy, I hum. And I was humming with what I was hearing, and my phone rings. Well, I looked down, and it said, Bishop C.M. Wright. Well, when you've got chicken grease on your fingers, Apple did not take into the account of you answering your phone. So I'm in a place. Do I answer the call? Do I finish eating my chicken? Do I wipe my fingers? Because it's a process. And I'm grabbing napkins and I throw the chicken bone down and I put that piece of chicken over here in my jaw. And I'm wiping, and he hangs up before I can answer. But I was ready for him because he's going to call right back. How you doing? Casey's watching. And the sure enough, it rang right back. I was ready. Hello? And I turned the phone where he could hear the noise. You know, I want him to know that I'm engaged in something. Are you eating? I said, yes, sir, but I've probably had enough. My humility was just coming from me. He said, yeah, you probably have. So I go to the truck, still with my chicken in the side of my jaw. Because I knew that there was no reason for me to get in a hurry to savor what was here. The mixture was right, and he's going to do all the talking. Timing. Order. You come to these meetings, it's probably... we got involved at the point of that 24-hour prayer chain. That's when I really got involved with what is happening now. I wanted to know more. So the next year we go to Annapolis and wanted to be involved in. This is our last year for Call to War. I've been in Pentecost all my life, and I've never experienced anything quite like this. And you're quitting it? Stopping? We're going to do this thing called POS. What in the world is that? Well, it was explained. Some of you are here. I know it's comical for just a minute, but some of you are here for the first time and you're still trying to figure out. Some of you have been here before, but it's taken longer to get where you need to go. There is an element that is used in a blacksmith shop called bellows. It forces air, oxygen, to the fire to increase the temperature. One of the easiest forms of metal or iron, lead, is the easiest to melt. Because at somewhere at 600 degrees, lead begins to melt. And once it melts, there are things in it. Steel takes a little bit more heat, and brass takes a little more heat. And God brings things into our life to bring us to a point of melting. Trying to cause the junk to come to the top. And if we can get the junk to the top, we get it all melted, and there's a separation that happens in our life. And it brings something to us that if I allow the heat to be applied to my life in this way, that he is fixing to remove something from me that I don't know if I'm really ready for it to be separated from my life. And we will withdraw ourselves and pull ourselves away, and we distance ourselves, and we go, I know everybody can't sit on the front row and everybody can't sit on the back row, and I understand all that, but we really want to say you have to get to service early to get a back row seat. But I've seen people that has sat on the front that has separated themselves, pulled themselves away to a place that they don't want to be touched anymore. They want to be a part. They want to look the part. They know how to say hallelujah. And we begin to pump the bellows to intensify the fire. And as we begin to, that's why service leaders feels like cheerleaders. The only thing that's missing is the short skirts and the pom-poms. I mean, we feel like we're a circus act sometimes, trying to motivate. We have the bellows that we are trying to pump oxygen into that little bit of dying fire, that we can increase the temperature enough that maybe you can see yourself. And the danger of some in this place is that things has begun to melt in your life, and you realize over the last 48 hours that there is going to have to be some separation that is going to take place, because the refiner takes that spoon or an instrument and he begins to pull across the top and remove the things. I don't want that. Leave that alone. Leave that right there. I've grown used to it. I'll learn to live with it. I listened to a young girl make the statement, I've learned to live with the voices. I don't want to put myself in a place. I don't want God to turn the heat up on me, because once you cool down enough and that metal goes back to the solid state that it is, where it may have melted at 600 degrees, now it's going to take 800 degrees, or it's going to take 1,000 degrees to bring it back to that same place. Comes back to the surface. You can take some of it, but leave a little bit of it. I want to be reminded. I really don't want to be that far removed from. And so we withdraw ourselves from the fire. Because we want to say, like the writer says, stand ye in the way, see, and ask for the old path. But they said, we will not walk therein. We want a form of it. but we won't want to adhere to it all. I don't want there to be a separation in my family. I don't want there to be a separation in the life that I live. I don't want to be looked at and viewed as something, because if you take everything away from me, they're going to talk about you. I really don't know how to respond to people when they say, "Did y'all have good church last night?" I finally just said, "Yeah, we had good church." You wouldn't know it if I explained it to you. And I've watched people come in, and there's a moving of the Holy Ghost that happens. That's why when we watch somebody that walks in for the first time, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take the entire musical team on the platform, but somebody can just reach and take a microphone, and they can just simply say, "I need thee. Oh, I need thee." And they go, "What was that? What am I feeling? I feel like I'm coming apart." But we have become so accustomed to coming to church that they can get up and preach on hell. And people will sit on their phones and will hashtag it on Facebook. Where are you going to eat after service? What are you going to do tomorrow? Because you can't get it hot enough to melt them to that place. How many times after there was a parting of the ways between Abraham and Lot, was there at some point something was said in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Something had to have been said that caused them to begin to think. They have found pieces and remnants of something that they did not know what it was until they got to observing more and begin to realize that they were on the spot where perhaps Sodom and Gomorrah was at. And they took these little pieces and they went to labs with them, and when they put fire to it to see if they could melt this component down, it would combust, and over 4,000 degrees, it would melt through the instruments that they had. And they realized they were dealing with brimstone. Be careful. If your heart is not in it, don't allow God, don't allow what's being said to melt you down to a place that you can be separated from this world. And let the things of this life be taken away from you, that you are, you become that instrument that God can use, that He looks at, that purity that's there. Because if you don't want Him to remove the danger, I couldn't get away from it even last night and through the night and this morning. And I'm sitting here listening to everything that's being said. And I'm just sitting here. I'm going, Bishop Schoonover looks and says, "You're going to follow Him." And I'm like, "Oh, sweet Jesus." Instead of 600 degrees, there's some in here because we've pushed and we keep hearing the timing is not right because the fire is not hot enough, and there's some that things has melted away and it has been taken from them and their life is changed. You could leave and go back to your place. because the work has been accomplished, but yet there's still that pushing of oxygen into the fire, trying to create something, because there is still that timing and that order, that there is still that one that if we can create the fire hot enough, maybe we can cause there to be a meltdown in your spirit. And now we can take something and we can dredge it off of the top. And you can become that pure vessel, that pure object that is needed in the kingdom of God. But there are some that know how to say hallelujah. They know how to say praise the Lord. They know how to go preach. I've said it at the house before. Their sleeves drag through the gravy. Their neckline is right. Their hair is uncut. And they nothing more but twice a child of hell. Because the only thing now that is going to move them in any way, it's going to take 4,000 degrees, and there's really nothing left, because they have allowed themselves to be brought to a point they allow themselves to be brought to a point, and then they, I'm not ready for this. Takes a little bit more, and we find ourselves, it's just that constant pushing. We got a hold to the handle of that bellow, and we're trying, because we don't want to see anybody lost, but we realize that if it gets any hotter, there is no salvage in their life. Where it takes 600 degrees for lead to melt, takes 1,200 degrees for aluminum to melt. I want to be silver. That's what I want. But it takes 1,700 degrees. And we get anxious and beside ourselves because we think, I'm going to be consumed. I'm talking to biblical scholars in this room. We most of us know the story, because he says, as the refiner of silver sets, he is not going to allow you to be consumed by the fire. He is just simply wanting those elements that is in your life that is causing those things that you are not in a perfect state to come to the top, where he can bring it off, and then he can look and say, I can see myself in this liquid state of nothingness, but I'm fixing to cast it, and I'm fixing to make a vessel that can be used. And we're screaming and we're hollering, and I'll be so glad when these 3 days are over. We can get back to the routine of things and church as usual. we can come in on Sunday morning and midweek and we can just exist, and I can come in, I can blend back in, I can polish over some of the stuff that's there, and nobody'll know the difference anymore. And because I'm gonna be right on the cutting edge of everything that's going on, and I'm going to stay involved. While it was comical, Brother Gonzalez talking about the piece of metal in the end of his finger, he said, "Put me to sleep," is what he said, to take it out. It's going to take a needle to put you to sleep. You can do it awake or asleep. But there's going to be a sharp object involved. Because it depends on what it is that's in that finger. While now, I don't know how much he tapped or if he just acted like he tapped this podium with that sore finger. But not knowing really what it is. Sorry, you're just a good example. Not knowing what it is. He could wake up in the morning and that finger is twice the size that it ought to be. And he's going, "Well, what's wrong with my finger?" Really? There's something in it. It would have been a lot easier to have had a volunteer come up. Brother, we can just take care of that problem right now. It's got a good sharp point. I hadn't skinned any fish with this knife, so it ought to be pretty clean. I mean, we'll clean it up. Don't fool with me, preacher. I like my imperfection. Quit preaching on holiness and godliness and fasting and tithing. Just leave me alone. Because you can begin to feel the heat. I don't like fiberglass tubs. I just don't know how sturdy they are. I like cast iron tubs. You know, it's not going to move. Working with fiberglass does not require any heat. I can make it pretty. I can sand it off. We can put a little paint on it. Everything looks good. But to mold and to form with cast iron, it's got to be 2,700 degrees to get it to a liquid state that we can begin to pour it. I can deal with a little bit of excitement. Just don't give me any heat. I know where I'm at, and I'm not going to be long, because timing and order and sandwiched in between what has been said. I've thought a lot about the scripture where Gideon "All of you that are fearful and afraid, go home." And 22,000 gets up and leaves. what he was really saying. Those of you that does not want the heat applied to your life, get up and go. It would be better for some in this house if we all lifted our hands and began to pray, and you gathered your belongings and you eased out a side door. Than to sit here and allow the heat to be applied just a little bit more as the bellows are pumped and the fire and the heat intensifies. And you can go, if I can just make it through one more speaker, if he'll just go ahead and turn the microphone over to somebody else and let them get through, I'll have enough time between the ending of this service and coming back tonight that I will have cooled down enough and everything will be okay in my life. But I can see some in the spirit as they're standing and they've got a hold of a big old set of billows. And the fire is raging. And it's went from 600. It's went to 800. It's went to 1,000 degrees. And now it's approaching 2,000 degrees. And we're beginning to get uncomfortable. And it's not long till all that's left is a piece of metal, a life that could have amounted to something in God. Because I have looked at people, and I'm not their judge, but I have looked at people and thought, oh, if you would have only allowed God to melt you down and remove those things, but now you come and you park it on a pew and you just sit there living with a memory of what you could have been. Because we finally get to the place that we can no longer continue because the arms get so tired. We will rig one up in the spirit that our feet are working the bellows. Because we don't want the fire to go out, we can look in the spirit and say they are so close. It was not going to take but just another little bit. And they're going to go into a liquid state. And if they get to that state, maybe they will allow me to help and pull some things from their life that they will become perfected in his sight. You have revolted. If the decibel level is not at the right peak, if the chill bumps of emotion is not at a certain level, then we're just simply bidding time. We're just simply waiting for that moment. It was said, and I don't even remember now who said it. I've heard it said before, but it was said in this meeting. You're never going to be, I think it was Brother Shelton last night, you're never going to be an interruption when you reach that state, that what is there that you say, purify me. And that purification comes forth when all of a sudden you can take no more and you go to your feet and your hands are in the air and there is a cleansing that begins to happen. But we want to wait until the right song is sung, the right note is hit on one of the musical instruments, until we feel, but his spirit is not going to keep on. He is not going to allow the bellows to keep being pumped, because you are in a state now that he can do something with your life. But sometimes it's all in vain. There's been the continual preaching of the word. There's been the series of afflictions. There's been those that has been kept in the constant fire, but it's all to no purpose. The bellows are kept so near the fire to blow it that they are beginning to get burnt from the heat. They look worn out. We have preachers that leave out of the pulpit that are so wrung out from a service that all they want to do is that they can make it to their car and go home and hit that chair. It's not that they're lazy. It's that they have worked and they have pumped the bellows and they have tried to reach for you and tried to do something. I'm talking about apostolic. If we're going to be apostolic, we're going to have to allow those things in our life to come to the surface and be removed, regardless of what anybody says or how they think of us. This journey that I have been on, people that said they were my friends, they don't call me anymore. I scroll through my favorites because I have moved their name to favorites. When they called, it would ring even if I had it on silent because I wanted to talk to my friends. They no longer call, but you hear it in a roundabout way. Oh, I don't know really what they're involved in. I don't know where they're really going in life. We really need to pray for them. We're really worried about them. You need to stand clear a little bit. I'm not going to go out and eat with them anymore because all they want to talk about is warfare and being apostolic and being separated from the world and not fitting in and they don't post like they used to and they're really not fun anymore. But I can stand here and say that I have been melted, but it has not been in vain. The labor is not lost. There was care that was taken to separate the precious and the vile, to purge out, to cast out those things, to remove the corruption, to take away the danger that was infecting my life. I don't know how hot the fire had to be. I don't know how hot it had to get
because I will stand here and tell you, I know what tradition is. I don't know how hot he had to get the fire. I don't know if it was 1,000 degrees or 1,500 degrees or 2,500 degrees, but oh God, how close was I to being utterly destroyed? All because it mattered. Somebody thought about me. It mattered to me how they viewed me. I laugh. I make a lot of jokes. I still find myself on occasion. My problem is not the fingernails. My problem is still wanting to be accepted. My problem is still wanting everybody to like me for who I am and what I am. But I find it that I've gotten to the place again that I've started praying, God, take the foolishness. I'm all for laughing and having a good time. I can laugh and joke with the best. But when that is all that your diet is, and in this room, quit worrying about acceptance. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to sit down. I've been, not to brag, I've been a sponsor of Apostolic Conference, and God has blessed us to help to a degree, and home missionaries that have been able to go there in the Mississippi, and I'm thankful for that. I go there, I get to sit in the sponsor section, you know, I get a seat, whether anybody else gets one or not. And Brother David Smith makes sure that I have an in-row seat, and a place where I can unhook a chair and got plenty of elbow room, all of that. But I walked up and I looked my dad and Bishop Wright in the face and I said, would y'all pray for me? And this was my prayer. This was my request. I said, I have a lot. Notice how I'm saying, I have a lot that I need to do where the church is concerned. And I need y'all to pray that I can lose some weight where I can do what needs to be done in the church. I mean, I looked in the face of my dad. I knew he could feel some of my pain because from the time I was about 6 years old, I've been on a perpetual diet. I've had my meals fixed. I know what it is for my mother to toast one piece of bread and slice it in half, not cut it in two, but slice it and make a sandwich, trying to help. I've jogged believe it or not. That didn't help. I've tried everything, and I was like, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. So if this man can pray and the weather stops, and if this one can pray and just hear the voice of God to stop when he didn't have a penny in his pocket, and the Lord tells him, won't you stop and call home? I don't want to call home. I don't have any change to stop at a payphone. This was before cell phones. But I do want a Coke and a pack of Nabs. That's cheese crackers. Nabisco, Nabs. My dad said he dug all in the seat. He couldn't even find a quarter. If he calls home, he's going to have to call collect because he don't even have money to put in a payphone. And the Lord says, stop at the next exit. So he just pulls into the next exit. He walks up to the payphone. I don't know why I'm going to call. I don't know of anything that's wrong. I think if something's wrong, Lord, you'd have told me. Out of frustration, he hits the coin return on the payphone, and it really doesn't want to open. And he scoops out $7.50. And he walks into the store. It was outside, so it wasn't nobody's. He gets him a Coke and some crackers, and he pays for it, and he puts the rest of it in his pocket. All God was trying to do is get him to trust him. I said, God, if he can take care of a man like that, then I'm fixing to stand here, and before I get out of this building, I'm going to have to take the latches on these suspenders and pull them up because the britches is fixing to fall. I mean, I'm standing there waiting. I'm ready for my shoes to loosen. I'm positioned. I'm telling you. I'm like, y'all just get this show on the road. I mean, I was ready to grab my pants. And I was going to go walking over and look what's happened to me. Bishop looked at me, he looked at my dad, and he said, can I tell him what I really want to tell him? He said, sure. He said, you're going to do it anyway. He said, I'm not going to pray for you. He said, I don't care if you lose any weight or not. All right, Mr. Navy. Mr. Brag about being able to put on your little Navy suit. This struggle is real. And then he said, because if I pray, God will hear me. And I'm like, well, howdy ho, let's go. He said, but if I do, you'll take all the credit for what you're wanting to do at your church. It's not your church. God is going to do something, and he's going to allow you to be a vessel, but you're not going to take any credit from it, fat boy. He didn't use those words, but that's what I heard. I turned and looked at my dad. My dad's defended me all my life. Call it down. Tell him he's got 47 minutes. He better make things right. No, I did turn and look at my dad. My dad was like, oh my God, that's the truth. I'm like, you too? So I relatched my suspenders, straightened my belt. I walked back over, my face is red, crying. My wife said, "Are you okay?" "Yeah." "What's wrong?" "Nothing." "Well, you sound like it. We'll wait till we get in the car and I'll tell you. Because they're still standing over yonder and they ain't hear me. There's 500 people between me and them, but they ain't hear every word I'm saying. Didn't know they was going to hear me when I got in the car." And if I leave this walk of life in the physical condition that I'm in, to know that in the spirit, because there was one little something that was there, and I watched as those two men of God took the bellow and they breathed a little more oxygen into the fire. Let's stand. And that needed to come out, you need to lift your hands right now. And you need to ask that if you're in that state of liquid, that he takes those things that are keeping you from being truly apostolic.